Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I'm joined, as always, by my friend Chuck. Chuck, are you there?
I'm here, Timmy.
And the lovely Brandy. Brandy, are you there?
I am.
Perfect. Today we're going to talk about the Pitchfork murder mystery, the death of Charles Walton, a murder that took place in 1945 and remains unsolved to this day. What's your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I don't like unsolved. I need closure. I need closure.
Well, hopefully, maybe we will solve it by the end of this podcast.
Ugh. I'm going to start searching the internet here, Timmy. I think there's some clues that...
You think you can figure it out?
Yeah.
Let me introduce our panel. I'm joined by a lady who is known throughout the kingdom as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Oh, Timmy, I have a cold, and that sucks. I know. I have a cold, and my baby has a cold or walking pneumonia.
So you basically gave your child your disease.
Yeah, well, no, I think he gave me his.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Brandy.
Well, you know, it is what it is, but, you know, I'm starting.
Are you taking the Percocet?
I'm not taking the Percocet yet.
They do wonders for a cold.
I've heard. So, no, I'm not doing that. It's been a weird week. It's just been an odd week. Have you guys had like just kind of a strange week, or is it just me?
It's just you.
Okay. Well then, all right.
What else did you do this week?
Well, last week I went and got a mammogram. So all the women out there, go get your mammograms. And everything.
And
was fine.
I would like to just point out, Charles and I are available for consulting for the mammograms if any of the ladies out there that need consulting.
Yeah, and we totally don't even appreciate that at all. But yeah, so I got that done and everything turned out fine, and so just, you know, everybody who's over 40, if you got boobies, go get a mammogram. That's my public service.
The Colonel and I are over 40, should we get a mammogram?
You need to ask your primary care physician.
I get my testicles ultrasounded every 6 months.
Every 6 hours?
Every 6 months.
Oh.
Every 6 hours
you
would
remember
be quite
that?
The
Who thing. Was the woman on Entertainment Tonight who had her legs insured by Lloyd's of London? Was her name Nancy Hart or something? What was her name? Remember her?
Yeah. Yeah,
really
I know you're
nice
talking
legs.
About.
Anyway, Lloyd's of London insured.
I think Anne Margaret had hers legs insured. So you have your testicles insured, Colonel?
And the big guy, the little general, too.
I see.
I don't think that's a thing.
Well, because
you know, you should get a discount as you get older, as it becomes non-functioning.
Actually, and much the less closer valuable. To the ground it gets, the more they charge me. But because I need it, how am I going to write books about, you know, how to properly make love?
Mm-hmm.
When, ugh. You know, I got
Oh, yeah, how is your book going, Colonel? I forgot. Yeah, you got it. Well, let me introduce you, and then you can tell us about it. That was enough brandy time, don't you think, Colonel?
That was way too much.
Maybe you can edit some of that out. Let me introduce a man who, Brandy, who is known as a man who's known as the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
By no one.
He's been, you know, he's someone we turn to, Brandy, in these troubled times. He's been described as an oasis in the desert of despair. A best-selling author.
No, what?
And a man who, a man of God, the very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters the Third, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Couldn't be better, Timmy. Couldn't be better.
You had a birthday. You had a birthday this week.
I had a birthday come up.
Are you 60
yesterday?
Are you 60 now?
No, I'm not 60 yet. You bit old woman.
I'm just checking.
And I took Rudy out into the woods. So there, I've had a strange dynamic start going on in my house here, Timmy.
What's that, Colonel?
Rudy has started to snitch on Bo. Every time Rudy catches Bo doing something he's going to get in trouble for, Rudy sneaks up behind him and starts barking to get all our attention, because Rudy doesn't bark unless somebody's breaking into the house.
So he's ratting on his little brother.
He does. Yesterday, Bo was in the garbage, trying to get into the garbage. Rudy's standing out there barking, and I go out and yell. Then Bo likes to eat plants. Bo's eating a plant. Rudy comes over, starts yelling. And I realized Rudy's turned on the dog. Rudy's starting to snitch on him.
He's much like snitches get stitches.
Taylor and Logan.
They get britches.
Yeah, snitches get britches.
And I will have... I will have my blog coming up soon, Timmy, because it's a follow-up to my book.
Oh, this is a follow-up to How to Make Love to a Woman?
It is.
Gross.
It is.
I'm sure you'll have a lot of people turning to you for advice, Colonel.
Well, the book is, it's anybody could read the book and really up that game, Timmy. But some of it gets a little bit technical, Timmy. And people been sending me messages, you know, hey, I'm having a little bit of problems with battering the corn dog. You know, that's his
battering the corn dog. That's a euphemism, yeah. Brandy. What do you think about that? Has anyone ever used that terminology with you, Brandy? Battering the corn dog. Yeah. I'm guessing they're talking about making love, right, Colonel? That's another.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And. You know, a man wrote in and said, you know, Colonel, I have tried and tried and tried, because one of the tried and true method is a technique I call the dipsy doodle.
Dipsy doodle.
And they said that, look, Colonel, it's just not doing anything for. I'm trying everything. I've done the devil's dance.
Mm-hmm.
I've done exploring Punarnia.
The Chronicles of Punarnia.
I've even tried to fidget the midget and Bridget.
Yeah.
And it's just not working. And I said, you know, sir.
Well, he's trying to keep this show classic, Brandy. He's not using vulgar terms. He's trying to keep this. He's using these terms so he don't offend people. Go ahead, Colonel.
Right. So I said, well, go ahead. Here's what you do. Now, I want you to read chapter 37 real good, okay? Now, this is a
37?
Tried and true method. If it doesn't work, follow up and just get down buttering the biscuit. Try that one.
Buttering the biscuit.
Buttering the biscuit.
I haven't heard that term before, but makes sense. It makes sense,
Brandy.
You
know what would be great? No, it doesn't. And so you know it would be great? So I feel like Colonel time's over. And I would just to talk about somebody getting killed with a pitchfork.
If butter
or somebody
could
jab a pitchfork into my ears, that would also be great.
And the dipsy doodle haven't working for you. You might have a defective woman. You might be just basically crab fishing in the Dead Sea.
Oh, my God.
You know, crab it's just not going to happen.
In the Dead Sea. So you're right. saying that, the woman may not be doing her part, Colonel.
I'm begging
well,
you.
Well, she may lack the hot bone, Timmy.
I see.
She may lack the hot bone. If she don't have the hot bone, it's just never going to happen.
I want to hear about somebody.
And I feel sorry for these men because he's sweating and, you know, he's
doing his part. Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's buzzing the Brillo.
Somebody could get killed by a pitchfork in front of me. That would also be preferable to this conversation.
Yeah, doing that. And he, for our English people, there's a technique in chapter 17 called the Chesterfield rugby.
Please.
You might want to try that one on for the Christmas season. So,
well, please, Colonel, you get stop. As you get as you receive emails, because I'm guessing that you're getting lots and lots of emails, and as you're asking your advice on how to make love to a woman. So, as you get those, feel free to share them with us as we go through the podcast.
I might do that because I feel like it's. You know, Timmy, to whom much is given, much is expected, Timmy.
I've heard that. That's a good philosophy, don't you think, Brandy?
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
So I feel like it's kind of my duty.
It's not.
To
give back.
To help men and women just get on their way, you know, just to bring a little bit more joy in the world.
Well, you're a good man, Colonel. I want before we get started, I want to thank Nina for substituting for me last week. She did a great job, and she was really, really funny. So thank you, Nina. If you haven't, I can't imagine you haven't already checked out Already Gone, her award-winning podcast. If you haven't, then if you're interested in true crime, do check out Already Gone. And her long
Don't Talk to Strangers.
Don't Talk to Strangers. It's on the Oakland child murder. So check out those fine podcasts from Nina. And again, thanks Nina for sitting in for me last week. You added a little bit of class to this podcast. So
and God knows we could use it, Timmy, without you here. Without you,
well,
here,
that
Timmy,
was I was concerned because you know I didn't want it to be just you and Brandy because. You know, she kind of, you know, she took a test this week at work, and it turned out, you're going to be shocked with this, Colonel. She is a dominant personality. Are you surprised?
Yeah. No, and she just, you know what the show would have been look like. It would have been just filth and cussing.
Yes.
And
by the way, if
garages and
if adult language offends you, then you probably want to check out some different podcasts because Brandy does cuss quite a lot and talks about some very disgusting things. Now, when the Colonel if a topic comes to sex, he's very modest, but yeah. If it comes to sex, he won't come out and say the F word. He'll use give us an example, Colonel.
Just, you know, the two people in the back seat doing a two-person push-up.
Person push-up. That's a good one, Brandy. You have to admit that he cleaned it up. Just, maybe you could, you know, train Brandy on how to use appropriate language.
Well, on last week's thing, because Nina was on that, Timmy, and it really surprised me because I thought Nina obviously had been to finishing school.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think?
Oh, well, yeah, I would think so.
And, you know, the devil, she got kicked out right
away. Yeah, she didn't finish.
Finishing
oh, my
school.
Gosh.
She didn't even get to starting school.
I bet she didn't even get to... I bet she didn't get to the part where they walk with a book on their head.
No. So, we're trying to change the tone, change the image.
You're trying to be the change. You're trying to be the change you want to see.
I'm trying to be the man in the mirror, Timmy.
You are definitely the man in the mirror, Colonel. All right, let's talk about the pitchfork murder mystery, shall we, Brandy?
Yeah, let's do that, please.
Quinton is a civil parish in Warwickshire, England, about 6 miles from south of Stratford. You know, you ever been to Stratford, England, Colonel?
I've been there, Timmy.
Well, that's interesting because it, according to the 2011 census, its population of Quinton was only 1,968. So I guess when you were there, it was 1,969.
No, it was about 2,100. I had the Colonel's posse.
Oh, the Colonel's posse. I see. Yeah. Now, nothing much happens in the quaint little village of Quinton, other than the Colonel visiting from time to time. But on Valentine's Day in 1945, Quinton became the location of a savage daylight murder that remains unsolved to this day.
I hate that.
I know, you like closure. On February 14th, 1945, 74-year-old Charles Walton, a farm laborer, was found brutally murdered. His throat was cut with his own slash hook, and a pitchfork was driven into the side of his neck, pinning him to the ground. Where were you at, Brandy, on February 14th, 1945? Because this sounds like some of her handiwork there, Colonel.
Well, and when we get into the next paragraph, it absolutely does sound like some of her handiwork.
Well, despite a detailed investigation in which more than 500 people were interviewed, no one has ever been charged with this Charles Walton's murder. The bizarre nature of the crime has led many in this small community to believe the murder was the result of witchcraft and black magic. Your thoughts on that, Brandy? Who does that remind you of, Colonel?
Not you, Timmy. Not you.
I see.
Okay. So we're talking. We may be talking about some of your people here, Brandy.
I doubt it.
Well,
Team Brandy might have had a hand in this one.
Well, you
I
know,
I don't think so.
We talked about this before, but the guy was 74 years old, and Colonel, I believe if you kill someone who's already lived past their normal life expectancy, I mean, you maybe should get a ticket or something, but should you go to prison for your life, Colonel? If someone's already lived?
Well, if they sentence you, it should be like, okay, I'm sentencing you to a tenth of a life term.
Yeah. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I don't have any. I just want to hear about this guy getting stabbed in the throat.
Well, I mean, the Colonel, I just think that it should be based upon life expectancy. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there should be a chart, Timmy.
Yeah, like an accurate, you know, like a
quantitative analysis on. I mean, a 74-year-old farmer, farm laborer. How much labor could the guy do in a day?
You know what? Those farmers are badass. Let's be careful.
Mm. Well, that's true. That's true, but he wasn't that badass because his wife slashed him with a hook and stabbed him in the ground.
We don't know it was his
probably.
Wife.
No, couldn't maybe, but it sounds like the kind of personal thing that a wife would do. You know, I've told you, God damn it, use a coaster.
Well,
and then you're stuck in the
ground.
Well,
here's the thing, Colonel. Now, it also not only age should matter; it should matter kind of what you do. Like for example. You and I, we're famous podcasters.
Right. Yeah. We bring a lot of joy to the world.
And our lives is, you know, far more valuable than, you know, normal people's. We bring a lot of joy. We have a lot of listeners. We have millions and millions, well, maybe not millions and millions of listeners, but we have a lot of listeners whose lives would be, it would be darkened if something would happen to us. So maybe if
we have a lot of people that turn to us, Timmy, for joy and happiness and 74-year-old men with pitchforks driven into their throat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about the people that turn to us. But
don't you think it's fucked up? Like if this guy, if they arrested this guy, killed him and they get life and then they would kill someone, kill me or you, and they would get life. Don't you think?
It seems kind of bogus. I mean,
now if they took out some podcasters, it might be doing a public service. Who I'm talking about. But
yeah, you get those guys that do the fantasy football podcast. Who misses them? Fantasy football lasts, 6 months a year?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing the other 6 months? Talking about potential, they irritate me. I don't even think they should let them on Apple, Timmy.
You think iTunes should?
Think iTunes should put a ban on it.
Well, Charles Walton was born in Quinton, England, on May 12th, 1870. He lived in Quinton his entire life. He worked as a laborer most of his life. He was married for a brief time when he was in his 50s, but his wife died in 1927. The couple did not have any children of their own. Charles Walton had a bit of a mysterious floating... Charles Walton had a bit of mystery floating around him in his life. He was considered a loner, Brandy, and somewhat odd. A loner and somewhat odd.
Which I can't believe that he's not a serial killer, but whatever. Go ahead.
He worked as a farm laborer and pretty much kept to himself. If you take nothing else from this description of him, Brandy...
Yes.
You know that what we're emphasizing, he was a farm laborer, right?
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. So, where am I at? Although Charles did not interact a great deal with people, he did seem to have a way with animals. It is said that he had almost a supernatural affinity for bonding and communicating with animals. Some said that wild birds would flock to him, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Well, that sounds like a nightmare.
And
he was bird man of Warwickshire.
And he was said to have not only be able to easily tame the wildest of horses, but also had the ability to calm angry or even rabid dogs. So he's kind of like you, Colonel.
He's like Dr. Doolittle.
He's like the dog whisperer.
Like the Colonel. Dr. Doolittle.
Well, in 1945, Charles was 74 years old and lived in a rented cottage with his 33-year-old niece named Edie. Charles adopted Edith Isabel Walton. That's her full name, Brandy.
Sure.
In 1915, when she was just 6 years old. So, Brandy, that means she was born in 1909.
Thank you.
So 1915 when she was... Okay. Charles raised Edie as his own daughter. The two lived alone in a rented cottage and pretty much kept to themselves. Well, except for the rabid dogs that would come around. Although Charles... did not socialize with his neighbors. He was far from being disliked. As a young man, he gained a reputation for training horses and was often consulted by his neighbors with concerns about their beast.
So he's Dr. Doolittle.
Kinda, yeah.
Seriously.
Charles had occupied the same cottage since World War I. At the time of his death, Charles paid the 3 shillings per week rent on the cottage. Well, God, you think he would have owned it by then? As well as buying coal and meat. So he didn't. You know, he was kind of living. He was not very wealthy, Brandy. That's what we're getting at here. In addition to his casual earnings, Charles received 10 shillings. A week old age pension. He also
that's what you're hoping to get, isn't it?
Man, if I could get 10 shillings a week, I'd be retired right now. He also paid his niece 3 shillings a week for housekeeping.
All right. A lot of shillings being bantied around.
Well, how many shillings?
Well, why isn't Edith cleaning up the damn cottage is what I want to know.
Yeah.
What's she,
what the hell is she doing?
He is. He paid her three shillings
a week.
No,
he paid his niece.
To do housekeeping. Isn't that Edie?
Oh, maybe he adopted. Maybe he adopted his niece. Well, why should he pay her to clean up her own damn house?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this. You just fucking said it. He had a 33-year-old niece named Edie, and down here he also paid his niece Edie three shillings a week for
well,
housekeeping.
Right. I mean, she's living
maybe
with him.
Maybe he's just a nice guy.
He raised her. Why she should charge him three shillings a week? He only gets ten shillings a week for rent every week. And he only gets 10 shillings a week for an old age pension. She's taking 30% of it. That's some bullshit there. That's some bullshit.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
She probably walked around in one of those skimpy little 1945
fucking
dresses.
Whore.
Gross.
Okay, that escalated quickly, Timmy.
Yeah, it did.
I just don't know why she's taking 30% man's.
Well, I mean, he would only have four shillings a week to get stuff.
Let's think about this, Brandy. Would you pay 30% of
your... Oh my God.
Would you pay 30% of your
Why
income?
Are you so tickled by this?
That's a lot of cash back in those days.
It's 30% of your income.
Oh, my God.
To clean the house.
Maybe the house is gross. Work.
So, you know what? We make about, what?
3 shillings a week.
Yeah, three. We make about we
well.
Make
I mean,
about
it's
20
for
shillings.
Inflation together. We, I mean, you know, each of us probably make about $9,000 a year. So that'd be like paying $3,000 of that for someone to clean your house.
Yeah,
she had to be. Know. She had to be wearing this shirt. You know, the little French maid outfit and stuff because it ain't no way that old man is going to be paying a third of his income for some niece to clean his house.
You know, maybe he just wants her to have walking around money. Why don't you settle down? Good Lord.
I think there might have been a little
little shadiness going on there.
Well, I mean,
poor guy's just trying to help her out. And
he raised
serious?
Her. You think she could clean his house for free? Fuck, she lives there.
Maybe he's just a nice guy. I don't know his motivation. I'm just saying that you getting so tickled by this is weird.
I just can't believe the dude is paying a third of his income.
Well, it doesn't matter. He ends up with a pitchfork in his throat. So, you know, all's well that ends well, I guess. Jesus.
God. Oh, God. I can't believe he's doing... she was ripping him off. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Charles supplemented his income by doing odd jobs. Of course he had to supplement his income. Because he's paying that whore
he had three jobs, and his niece didn't have one that she was collecting cash on.
He had to get it. He had an old man out there, 74 years old, doing farm work because... His whore of a niece is charging him a third of his income.
Oh, my God.
What the hell's a shilling anyway, Timmy? Somebody explain a goddamn shilling.
I'm guessing it's a hoarder. A pound. I don't know. Maybe, you know,
maybe he's a hoarder.
Can you write that down, Brandy?
No. Maybe he's a hoarder, and it is a big deal to clean his house.
Maybe. I'm thinking she's fucking, you know, she's teasing him and shit, bending over. You know what I'm talking about, Colonel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's believing that she's going to let the uncle tickle her tummy from the inside, Timmy, and that's never going to happen, but he's tossing out 3 shillings a week for it.
What tickle her tummy from the inside. I've never heard that expression before. Have you, Brandy?
Tickle her tummy.
Because it's not a thing.
All right, so Charles...
If you do it right, it is. If you do it right.
Charles supplemented his income by doing odd jobs around various farms around Quentin because his whore niece, he has to get out and work.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
This woman alone.
Here's an idea, Charles. clean your own fucking house and you don't have to go out and do work.
You know, Chuck, have you noticed he doesn't get excited or tickled about anything else, but when it comes to money, all of a sudden everybody's a whore and, you know.
Well, come on. She's charging him a third of his income. He's on a fixed income. This whore's charging him a third of that just to clean his house. He has to go out and do odd jobs just so he can afford to pay his niece. Why can't she go out and get a job?
I don't know. Maybe she was disfigured.
At the time of his murder, Charles was doing some work for a local farmer by the name of Alfred Potter. Friends called him Al. Charles had done several jobs.
I believe there's some knee shaming going on here, but
oh, you think? Good Lord.
He raised the little girl when she lost her parents. You think she could clean his house for free?
Maybe she didn't ask for the money. He just gives it to her.
Mm. No.
Maybe he's a better person than you.
No.
I know that's not saying much, but it could be a thing.
I think she's a whore. Charles had done Charles had done several jobs for Alfred Potter and would work for him quite frequently. The two seemed to have a good relationship, even though their relationship was pretty much limited to that of an employer-employee. The two did not socialize or spend any time together outside of work. I'm guessing that whore niece of his just comes around after he gets his painkillers filled every month. I bet she's not even around most of the time.
Yeah, she was getting her powders from him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had the powders.
Oh, my God.
Well, Charles was scheduled to work on February the 14th, 1945. Charles Walton was scheduled to work at Alfred Potter's farm. He left home with a pitchfork and a slash hook, which is a double-edged pruning implement with a sharpened straight edge on one side and a cutting edge on the other.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, it was his tools of his trade, I guess. Edith, the whore niece, stated that Charles had left his purse at home on this day, which was a bit unusual. She's probably in there digging in there, stealing his money. I bet he had more money in it than what she told the police. Charles was witness to have passed through the churchyard between 9 a.m. and 9, I'm sorry, between 9 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. on this particular day. On this particular day, he was slashing hedges in a field known as Hill Ground on the slopes of Mellon Hill. You know where I'm talking about there, Colonel, right? Mellon Hill?
I do.
All right.
I know exactly where it's at.
Charles was expected to be home by 4 p.m. Edith returned home from her job around 6 p.m. So I guess Edith
did
it.
Oh, so she has a job. And so she is contributing.
She's probably a stripper.
So you're a prick. And the other thing is, too, you got fucking killing me. Did anybody stop and think that maybe this was an accident?
Well, he was found with...
How the fuck you end up with an accident with the... If he fell onto the thing, yeah, that might be an accident.
But it was he was sticking through his neck and it pinning him to the ground. That's hard to fall like that.
Yeah, and you know, she was quick to point out that, oh, no crime here, nothing to see.
Yeah, she returned home. Edith returned home from her job as a stripper. Around.
Oh my gosh! Why's she got to be a stripper?
Wow! What else can she do? Around 6 p.m. Really? So she arrived around 6 p.m. and found that Charles was not there. Due to his solitary nature and regular habits, he had regular. You know, he was OCD, kept to his regular routine. It gave her no solace that he was like a loner. and she felt that maybe he went to a local pub or was visiting a friend.
See, he gets out.
I bet she knows all about the local pub, Colonel.
Oh my gosh.
Knows all about what?
The local pub.
Oh yeah. Yeah, she's down there all the time. You know what she goes down to the pub and
gets a beer
and get Percocet from the old man that she teases down there. She's probably cleaning other men's houses, that'd be my guess.
Well, really? she tells her uncle, "Well, where are you going here, niece?" And she says, "Well, uncle, I'm going to take the magic bus to Manchester."
The magic bus to Manchester.
Yeah, that means something completely different in England.
Mm. So worried, Edie knows
she's going down to the bar to get laid, devil.
No, thank you. Thank you for that, jackass.
Worried, Edie notified a neighbor named Harry Beasley. And the two went off to look for her uncle. They ran into Alfred Potter, who acknowledged that Charles Walton had indeed been working that day out by a place called Meon Hill. And
what the hell are you doing?
And he joined them to search for the missing man. So he hired the guy to do some work around Meon Hill, and now they're all three, Alfred Potter, the niece, and his neighbor Beasley, they're out looking for him, okay? They went to Meon Hill. What they found there, Brandy, would shock and disgust the entire community.
Oh, my goodness.
There, among the very hedges that he had been working on, was the dead body of Charles Walton.
Oh, hideous, Timmy.
And
hideous.
It was in quite a state, Colonel. His pitchfork, its handles were broken off, had been stabbed down through his neck to pin him to the ground with great force, and the slash hook had been used to open his throat, where it remained embedded among a sludge of blood. Charles.
That's just disturbing.
It is pretty disgusting. Charles also had been beaten around the head with his own walking stick.
My God. Who does that to an old man? Why is he trimming bushes when he's got a walking stick? Jesus Christ.
Did anybody's parents ever say this to you? I will tear your arm off and beat you to death with it.
Yes.
Okay, my parents said that too, so I just didn't know if it was my own abuse, if that was something that was...
No. I will actually tell my kids that I will pick one of them up and beat the other one with him.
Well, that sounds very abusive.
You know what? He's smaller.
Do I?
That sounds abusive.
Okay, mommy dearest.
Hey, you know...
Wire hangers?
Yeah, when they're both working your nerve, you know, I will pick him up and beat you with him. See, sometimes that works. Jacob is much more difficult to pick up than Noah is.
If you don't mind, Brandy,
see,
I'll continue with the story.
I got a theory already, Timmy.
Okay.
That's great.
What's your theory there, Colonel?
Now,
be quiet, Brandy. Let him talk. Yes, Colonel.
He strolls out into the barn, Charles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the niece is supposed to be cleaning the house, but she ain't. She's with some field hand in the barn slapping sloppies, right?
Slapping sloppies, Brandy.
Slapping sloppies.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it gets ugly. And next thing you know, Denise got a pitchfork, beats him with his own cane, stabs him in the ground with a pitchfork. Case solved.
What?
He's blaming the whore niece, Brandy. Your thoughts?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, they found him in this terrible state. And maybe the most bizarre of all was an apparent crucifix that had been etched into the flesh of his chest.
Oh, my God.
The only thing that seemed to be missing from Charles's person was a small silver watch described as being cheap quality and relatively worthless. Well, might have sentimental value. You don't know.
Well, there was stolen a crucifix if they could have got it out of his chest, but...
Nice. Very nice. Poor little old man minding his business with his walking stick, cutting some hedges.
The grisly scene had them contacting the police as soon as they could, Brandy.
Yeah.
And hello, Thelma.
Okay.
And thus would unfold a truly strange mystery that has yet to be solved. Here, what, 80, almost 80, I don't know how long it is, but 55, 75.
Long time.
Yeah, long time. Yeah, 75, almost 75 years. At first, the investigation was handled by the local superintendent named Alex Spooner. Sounds like a cop's name. Alex Spooner. I wonder if he had one of those little hats, Colonel, that's, you know, like got a bill on both sides in the front and the back.
Like a Sherlock Holmes hat?
Yeah.
And a big curly mustache that he put wax on?
Yeah. Man.
Alex Spooner, P.I.
Yeah, okay, so
that's
here's...
That's weird.
Here, I've got a thought, Brandy.
Oh, here we go.
No, this is a cool thought. What if we have someone design a History Dweebs tattoo?
Uh-huh.
And we can get all of the members of our listening audience to get that tattoo so that when we live in the compound together, that will be kind of your entrevue into the compound.
Huh. That's very interesting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm gonna go ahead and mull that over for quite a while.
Well, Colonel, would you wear a History Dweebs tattoo? All seriousness.
Well, look at the right tattoos that he has. Look at the tattoos he's got. Of course he would.
Well, how about you, Brandy? Would you wear a History Dweebs tattoo?
I don't know.
I think our listeners would be interested in that. Members of our group,
I think they would. Hmm. But how about, so, Alex Spooner.
Colonel, you know that horn, Edith. I bet she just goes around to all the old men and cleans their houses.
Oh, my God. That's wrong. Leave Edie alone.
All right. Anyway, think about the History Dweebs tattoo, because I think that'll be cool. Anyway, I don't even have a tattoo, but I would get one for that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're a liar.
No, I would. At first, the investigation was handled by the local superintendent named Alex Spooner, the guy with the mustache wax.
Mustache and the hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He probably had a big,
He had a pipe.
A pipe, but he also had a magnifying glass, like a really big one.
Yeah, well, duh. That's what that's what all good detectives have.
Now, Alec, he uncovered some, he had worked and uncovered disturbing and very strange past murders in the area. So he's on it. He has a history. For instance, there was another notorious murder that took place less than 50 yards from where Charles was found 70 years to that day. And what's interesting, Brandy, I wonder if anything happened. You know, I have to do the math because we're past 70 years, aren't we? And I was trying to figure out if there was another murder, you know, like it was every 70 years or something. In 1875, a young woman named Anne Tennant, who was killed by a pitchfork by a local dim-witted man named John Hayward.
Jeez.
That's how I'm going to be known, you know, after 100 years after I'm gone.
A local dim-witted
man.
Jeez.
A local dim-witted man named John Hayward was charged with that murder because he had believed that she was a witch and who cursed him and the whole area. So
she's a witch. She's a witch.
Sounds legit.
A local dim-witted man killed this Anna Tinton or Anne Tinton in 1875.
Tenet.
Yeah, within 50 yards of where Charles Walton
they found Charles
was killed by a pitchfork. Anne Tinton's body had been pinned to the ground with a pitchfork, and a cross had been cut across her chest, which turned out to be a traditional method of disposing of witches back in the day. There was supposed there was also supposedly uncovered by Spooner repeated sightings of a spectral black dog in the area, made by a young boy named, of all things, guess what? It was the young boy's name, Brandy. It was Charles Watson, the same name of the guy who just got killed.
Yeah.
So
Charles Watson, the young boy, is seeing this black dog.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The boy, who apparently seen the dog several nights in a row, after which he saw an apparition of a headless woman that eerily coincided with the time of his sister's death. It was even speculated that Anne Tennant was related to Charles Watson somehow. So, soon, the entire community became convinced that witchcraft was involved in Charles's murder. That is some weird coincidence, Brandy.
Yeah, it is. Yes, that is.
She's a witch!
Yeah, the kid's name was Charles Watson. And the old man's
Tex
name
Watson.
Was Charles Walton, but
his great-great-grandson will be, or his grandson will be Tex Watson of the Manson family. Famous.
Very nice. That's not true, but
or
it's together.
Yeah,
we don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, I do. I do. I feel confident. So further investigation uncovered that the area of the murder, Meon Hill, was steeped in dark tales of witchcraft. Steeped in dark tales of witchcraft. The hill apparently had long been surrounded by tales of the occult and black magic rituals, going all the way back to the days of the Celts.
That sounds like an ideal vacation spot for you, Brandy.
It would be. And it seemed as if the sightings of the ghostly black dogs had long been common in the area. An autopsy was performed by forensics experts at Scotland Yard. A post-mortem on Charles Walton found that Walton's trachea had been cut and that he had bruising to his chest and several broken ribs. Well, that happens. Charles Watson also had defensive wounds, a cut on his left hand and bruises on the back of his right hand and forearm. Pathologists concluded that Walton's wounds had been caused by two weapons, a stabbing weapon and a cutting weapon. Presumably, the pitchfork and the slash hook. Scotland Yard, that's a way to put that together. Charles Walton had also been hit over the head with his own walking stick, which was found 3.5 yards from his body with blood and hair adhering to it.
I think it was his whore niece. So go ahead.
Oh,
it was the niece. It was absolutely the niece.
Oh, goodness. It was determined that Charles Walton died between 1 and 2 p.m. Walton's shirt had been opened, his trousers had been unfastened at the top, and his fly was unbuttoned.
Oh! Ow. I don't mean necessarily. Maybe he was just taking a leak when he got killed.
See, that's why when you're taking a leak against a barn wall, Timmy, mm-hmm. never face straight ahead. Because you don't know what's behind you. Always keep your head on a swivel when you're taking a whiz
outside. Well, here's the thing. Maybe his whore niece was giving him a blowjob. And
what the hell? No.
Oh, a shilling is a British coin valued at 1/20th of a pound sterling. So it's kind of like a nickel.
Oh, that cleared that up.
Kind of like a nickel. Good. Okay.
It's like a nickel. So
he gets 50 cents.
You think that she was doing a little snabbling on the uncle there, Timmy?
He gets 50 cents old age pension a month. And he's giving that whore.
Is she giving this bitch a quarter?
He's giving that whore 15 cents.
Let it go. He could spend his money how he wants. He's old man. He's earned it.
Oh, I know that. I'm just saying she's taking advantage of him, the whore, because he's only got 50 cents coming in. She's taking 15 cents of it every week to clean his fucking house. I bet she don't even clean it very well.
Wait a minute. I feel like you're projecting.
Maybe.
That's what I feel like. I feel like you are projecting. So
Timmy never had a mate.
Back in the day on Craigslist, whores would advertise by saying they'd come over and clean your house nude.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how they got away. They would say, come out and say they, give you a blowjob or something, but they say they do house cleaning in the nude for $150.
House was the cleanest on the block, wasn't it?
I think you should do fucking laundry if they're going to, make a new
But you know what? That's what I'm... A woman said to me not too long ago, mm-hmm. Because the neighborhood we work in, she said that she would do anything for $100 to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anything for $100. So I said, you know what? Come over to my house Sunday. I got some painting I need done.
Overhaul your transmission.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus. All right, so.
Continue, Brandy. Quit.
Thank you.
Quit getting distracted. Come on now.
Sorry. So the report makes no specific mention of the cross supposedly carved on Walton's chest, but it's mentioned in some later accounts. Not believing in witchcraft, Detective Spooner decided to focus on the more likely suspects, namely Charles Walton's employer. You have here, it's Alfred Pooter. But I believe you called him Potter earlier, yeah. So that's what
Pooter.
I'm going to go with.
It's Pooter.
Alfred Pooter
I say
better.
Potter. Pooter.
I like Pooter
Potter.
Better, but whatever. Pooter. Among the clues that pointed to Potter were his behavior at the crime scene. Potter's behavior on the night of the murder did not appear to be that of an innocent man.
Hmm.
When the first policeman, Constable Lomasny, whatever, arrived at the scene, he noted that Potter seemed very upset.
You know
what? He
was
shivering and complained of being cold.
Well, that's serious. That sure is suspicious.
Well, that is.
But, those constables, man, they get laid like crazy, Colonel.
Well, probably.
Oh, you know they do. Those Quakers trying to get out of speeding tickets with their little horses.
Mm.
Going down the street too far, not having flashes on.
All right.
Showing their Quaker boobs to try to get out of the tickets.
Quaker boobs. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He was shivering and complained of being cold. Looking back, I think that Potter appeared more worried than one would have expected him to be.
I wonder if he was like biting his fingernails like he was like a typewriter, and
maybe. Yeah. I've seen that on cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
After all, the officer reasoned, Potter was used to slaughtering animals and might have been less moved by the murder scene than other men.
Oh, that makes sense.
He was also surprised when Potter said he was going home before the Stratford police turned up. He said, the constable said His complaint of feeling cold I considered a strange excuse from one who was used to attending to animals at all hours and in all kinds of weather, especially as the murdered man was his own employee and had been murdered on his own land.
Well, it was the middle of February, so it probably was cold.
Well, Potter gave conflicting testimony. 3 days after the murder, on February 17th, Potter said he would have gone over to see Walton February 14th, were it not for the fact that he had a heifer in a ditch nearby that he needed to attend to. Well, if we had a nickel.
Was he talking about his niece?
We've all had a heifer. We've all had a heifer in the ditch nearby.
Yeah. If I had a nickel.
We're not proud of it, but we've all been in the ditch with the heifer, Timmy.
Thank God. Let's see. He claimed that he'd gone straight home, arriving there about 12:40 p.m., and then went to attend to the heifer. However,
you stay here. I'll be right back. He had to check and make sure none of his friends were around.
However, the heifer was found to have drowned in the ditch on February 13th.
It happens. It happens.
He pulled a Ted Kennedy.
Jesus God.
Oh God.
So he's killed the heifer. All right, and so
the heifer drowned in the ditch.
Yes, the heifer drowned in the ditch.
That must have been a dumbass heifer.
Honestly.
Just walk out of the ditch, motherfucker.
Oh.
Well, he told me to wait here, so I'm just going to wait.
So.
I hope he comes back soon because I'm about to drown.
He told him to wait right there.
Oh, God.
Wait here. All right, so the heifer drowned in the ditch and was not removed until 3:30 p.m. on February 14th, almost 3 hours after Potter claimed to have gone to attend to it.
Well, I mean, it takes a little time to get a heifer out of it. That's dead weight.
That is dead weight.
It ain't like
although,
heifer helping you now.
If you can field dress it, my guess is that you can... you know, have a lot of meat for the wintertime, but whatever. Potter's statement about the heifer was contradicted by his statement on February 23rd that he'd gone home, read the paper, and then helped a neighbor named Charles Batchelor to pulp mangolds.
Well,
what
maybe.
Kind of fucked up excuse is that?
Maybe he was just, he was in shock and mourning that he lost his heifer. You know, he don't remember all the details.
You know, I don't know. There's a big difference between, like, if he'd have said I went home to pulp oranges and then the next day he says mangolds, okay, but it's hard to mix up pulping mangolds and getting a heifer out of a ditch.
He was confused.
I don't, there's not a lot of confusion there about what you're doing.
Hmm.
So the conclusion the police reached, by that comment was that Potter was undoubtedly lying about his actions at this critical time, but the reason for these lies can, for the present, only be a matter of conjecture. So as far as his timeline goes, police also questioned Potter's version of his timeline for the day of the murder. Their suspicions about Potter's activities between noon and 12:40 was increased by the fact that he variously stated that he had seen Walton walking in the distance at 12:10, 12:15, and 12:20, ultimately telling the inquest that he had seen someone stationary at 12:30. What the hell?
That's quite the timeline.
Yeah. So he varies by 5 minutes. But he'd seen someone at 12:30. Oh, Jesus God. I'm glad nobody ever questions me about shit.
Yeah, I mean, I would be like the worst witness. Like, what were you doing on the afternoon?
I don't know.
And even though I don't do anything, I just come home and lay in my bed. I'm not going to ever have a kind of like a alibi for anything. What were you doing on September 9th, 2016?
Yeah.
I was laying in bed.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, but what did you do after you were laying in bed? No, literally, I laid in bed.
I laid in bed, and then
I didn't even get up and go to the bathroom.
No,
it's all good.
Laid in bed.
All right, so investigator Spooner concluded that thus we have Potter's story gradually changing from seeing Charles Walton working at hedge cutting at 12:10 p.m. to seeing a man standing stationary in the field at 12:30. Good Lord.
So you think it's the guy that hired him. Is that what you're – that's what I'm getting a sense that you believe that this guy is the guilty party.
Well, I'm just reading what you wrote here,
no, but
so
I mean
– I don't – well, I mean it sounds like it, but
you
again,
seem like
I
you
want to
defend
that,
a whore niece.
Yeah, I do because I think that she's been
– and lay it all
attacked.
On Alfred Potter.
Pooter.
Whatever.
Yeah. We're going to lay it on Pooter. But I just, I would be a horrible, I can't even give myself an alibi. You know, yeah, exactly. What were you doing yesterday at 5:30? Fuck, I don't know. I could have been in the car. I could have been, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm terrible about
so
that.
So 12:10,
12:15. And I don't notice anything. Like, and you know, they could be like
no
a.
No shit.
They could be like a no bank shit. Robbery, like, you know, and I'm like the next in line. And
no, I know.
Teller,
and I think.
I didn't see anything.
Well, and
I was
and
looking
I feel
on
like
my phone.
Your not noticing shit was very much on display when you discovered that I had a tattoo that I've had for 2-3 years. Wow. That's not hidden.
It was new.
It's
to,
not a hidden tattoo.
It was new to me.
Jesus Christ. All right. So.
We should get a history dude's tattoo.
All right. So Potter made some statements regarding the murder weapon. In his initial interview on February 14th and 15th, Potter made no mention of the murder weapons. However, on February 20th, Potter said he had previously mentioned to the police that he'd touched the murder weapons and that this had been at Harry Beasley's instigation when they found the body to make sure Charles Walton was dead. What the hell kind of sense does that make?
Yeah. Well,
who the hell's Harry Beasley?
He was
and why is he trying to get
Harry
people
Beasley
in trouble?
Was the neighbor that went with Edith and Potter Pooter to find Charles Walton. He was
yeah,
a. He
you
was
just
a,
see him standing there like, touch it, do it, just touch it, just touch
is he
it.
Dead?
he's, yeah,
well, he's
he
got a pitchfork through his neck.
Yeah, touch the pitchfork. Make sure, yeah. Get some skin under your fingernails. That's what you should do. However, this was the first time he'd made such a claim to the police, and Beasley strongly refuted any question that he'd asked Potter to make sure Walton was dead.
Well, of course, Beasley's probably banging the Edith and trying to frame Pooter. That's what I'm taking away from this, Colonel. How about yourself?
Why does he need Pooter gone? What the hell does Pooter have
well,
to do with
because,
Beasley and Edith's because, relationship?
Because he's covering for Edith is the one that killed him, and he's no. They're trying to blame Pooter. Who was Pooter was trying to get his heifer out of the ditch. He had nothing. He was away getting his heifer out of the ditch, and when he was away, Beasley and the whore niece Edith, they got together and they framed him. That's what I'm taking from this anyway.
I don't know why you're taking that. So anyway, well, Beasley said that it was pretty obvious that the guy was dead, and that Potter didn't touch the weapons in his presence. This led the investigator to conclude that Potter had gone to great pains to explain away any of his fingerprints which might have been found on the weapons.
Hmm.
He also had some odd stains on his pants. Cue laughter.
Oh, we've all been there, really, haven't we, Colonel?
It's getting weirder and weirder to me.
Yeah. The trousers that Potter had worn on February 14th were described as being made from Bedford cord. There were two marks on the front that investigators believe may have been bloodstains.
Oh, those are some nice slacks. Those Bedford cords, well, those are some nice slacks.
Yeah.
I hope they can get the stains out.
Well, they did. There may have been bloodstains. However, he reported that they had been cleaned too thoroughly for positive analysis.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, that's fine material, that whatever you said that was. That was
Bedford cord.
Yeah. That's fine material. That's why. It's a, you know, you wouldn't think he would be able to afford to find a pair of slacks like that on 10 shillings a week.
Who, Alfred Pooter? Alfred Pooter had
The
cords. Keep up, Timmy. You wrote this.
I thought you were talking about Charles Walton, because he only got 10 shillings a week.
I know he did. I've heard all about his money issues.
He couldn't afford.
Keep the fuck up.
He couldn't afford.
He couldn't afford Bedford cord. You're right.
Right.
But this guy's wearing Bedford cords while he's getting his heifer out of the ditch. So he's got money to burn, clearly.
He's a baller.
Yeah, he's a baller. All right. So police also believe that Alfred Potter may have had a motive to kill Charles Watson.
Mm.
And the motive was greed.
Did the colonel have a stroke? Why isn't he talking?
I don't know what he's doing. I'm listening to you two go on here. It's kind of entertaining. The devil seems she's getting a little bit
Timmy can't keep his shit
worked
together.
Up here, and I'm trying to figure out the stains on the man's pants. They couldn't do DNA, but they could at least done the crunchy test. Was it crunchy? Did it, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? He's wearing cords. You can't really tell.
Belford cords.
Belford. Yeah, so I mean,
it's some nice
really tell.
What is it? Is it a Belford cord?
You can get them down at the general store.
Is that like corduroys or something? Is that what Belford cords are?
I'm just saying that it is. It's probably not, but I'm going with that it's cords.
I'm going to look it up.
Well, good.
I'm writing that down.
All right. So it seems that Alfred Pooter managed the farm called, the Furs.
The Furs, right.
For the L.L. Potter and Company, a company he shared with his brothers. Police suspected that Potter was claiming that Charles was working more than he actually was. They believed that Alfred was pocketing the difference.
That's not right to, the besmirch Alfred Pooter.
Well, if he's doing it wrong, I'm telling you. Police believe that somehow Charles found out about the scheme and threatened to report him. However, police found it difficult to prove such allegations because the company's bookkeeping was completed by who? Alfred Pooter. The plot.
I don't trust this Pooter guy.
You know, yeah, exactly. I did a Google search for Belford cords, and it's not shown any results. So.
Bedford cord.
Yeah, Bedford.
Spell it right.
Oh, I had Belford. Okay. Never mind.
There you go. Okay. Inspector Spooner knew that by making an arrest, he would have to link Pooter to the murder scene. Because of Pooter's changing stories and lack of witnesses, it was difficult, if not impossible, to place Potter at the crime scene at the time of the murder.
Oh, this is nice looking pants. They almost cost $70 on $64.95 at L.L. Bean.
Damn. Oh, God.
There's some nice looking slacks.
Not pants. Are they cords?
Yeah. Yeah, they're like corduroys.
There you go.
So he must have been well to do to be able to afford Belford cords. That's $70.
And pull your heifer out of a ditch in them.
Well, here's the thing. He paid $70 for his pants. Poor old Charles Walton. He only got 10 shillings, 50 cents a week.
Let me tell you something, though.
Old age pension. Like, he gave a third of that to his whore niece.
Oh, my God. All right. So he couldn't place Potter at the murder scene. Despite the strong circumstantial evidence, there was no clear evidence that linked Potter to the crime scene. And despite analysis by Scotland Yard, Potter's fingerprints were never found on the murder weapon. And despite the investigator's suspicion about Pooter cooking the company books, no reasonable motive could be proven. Also, investigators found that there was no evidence that Potter was violent or that he and Walton had ever quarreled. Investigators described Potter as morose and sullen at his interviews, although, even when closely interrogated, he never lost his temper and was civil.
Well, he was morose. He was morose and sullen. That should tell you something.
Yeah. It should. Investigators found that Potter was unkempt and on the surface dull-witted and probably incapable of covering up a murder.
Describe him again. Wow. What was that description again, Brandy?
Unkempt and on the surface dull-witted.
Probably under the surface, too, I'm guessing. Colonel, have you ever been described? Have you ever had anyone describe you as unkempt and on the surface, dull-witted?
Yes, yes, he has.
From time to time to me.
Until they get to know you, Colonel.
Most of them are just... Again, when you reach our level, Timmy, there's going to be a lot of haters. I mean, look at Kanye.
Right, you know, right.
Perfectly nice, reasonable man.
You got a good point. He's got a point there.
We're basically, you and I, Timmy, are basically the Kanye West of podcasters.
We really are, Brandy. I never would have thought before I got into podcasting, Colonel, and I know you experience this too, that everywhere you go, women just throw their panties at you. Do you experience
they
that?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. I mean,
At first I was picking them up and handing them back to them, but you know, it just got so
yeah. polite. It's only polite.
Well, now I don't. I just let them. I just walk, keep on walking.
You just sniff them and walk away.
Well, I had no idea getting into this how much opportunity it provided to shampoo the Wookiee, Timmy.
Shampoo the Wookiee.
But me, you know, being an upstanding Christian, man, I just give the panties back to the ladies. Mm.
Well, of course. You're above reproach.
I'm not in here to, you know, I'm not.
Charles.
I'm in here to entertain people, Timmy. I'm not in here to be shucking the Barbie all the time.
What? Can you just do the conclusion? How about that?
Because
Charles.
Because here's the thing, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
A woman gets with the colonel. I mean, it's basically the apex of their life. Yeah. You have soured the kraut from that moment.
Soured the kraut.
You have soured the kraut, Timmy.
I have never heard that expression before. Soured the kraut.
Yeah, you just ruined it for everybody else.
Hmm.
So... let me tell you what the investigators did here. They determined that Cuda, was in ill health and not even physically able to mount such a vicious attack.
What? Although he was able to get his heifer out of the ditch?
He was able to mount the whore niece.
And probably the heifer.
Although several witnesses have suggested,
can't believe she
Charles
was charging
Walton
him three chillings a week to clean his fucking house.
Well, wait a minute. This gets better. Hold on.
Several witnesses suggested that Mr. Walton had limped pot of money. Its repayment was overdue, and there's no proof that this was the case.
Hmm.
So wait a minute. So what you're saying is the guy who gives out three shillings a week to his niece is also loaning his boss money.
He's a loan shark. Yeah.
He's loaning
he's
his boss money.
He's probably into prostitution, too.
So he's only got seven shillings a week to live on after he cleans his house, and he's loaning that out as well. He's a saint.
He gives 3 shillings out a week for rent.
A loan shark, and he was into... He really could stretch a shilling. Sex work.
He could.
This
he probably is a couponer.
So, Mr. Walton had...
Well, he don't go around spending money on Belford cords, I'll tell you that.
Well, no.
No, he didn't.
Although he probably could.
No, he did not. So, anyway, he had a business on the side. Walton's stuffing the muffin, Timmy.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. This guy's going around wearing Belford cords. He's obviously got a shop... he's a shopaholic or something. He's wearing... Belford cords, but he's borrowing money off a loan shark. You know, Charles.
Maybe he has a Belford cord addiction.
He had a QVC problem.
Maybe he's dressing up so he can, you know, get with the whore niece or something.
Oh my god!
Yeah, she liked the dapper man.
Hmm.
Oh my god! Were they ever able to charge Alfred Potter?
Continue, Colonel.
In the end, police were unable to charge him with murder. with
oh no,
who the lead suspect ruled out. Police started focus on less likely suspects, but to no avail. Locals believe that the murder was related to witchcraft or perhaps a druid ceremony. Does it sound like a druid ceremony to you, Devil?
Oh, yeah, Brandy. I was in, you know, I went to England to see Leanne. We went to Stonehenge, and they said, you suck, and they're not going to hire you.
They didn't say that.
Yeah, they said it's they not fucked that. Up. The devil hasn't been
And you
been
know
yet.
What? I will just, I can call Leanne and confirm that.
Nope, they said, you suck, we're not hiring you.
No, they did not say that at all.
Continue, Colonel.
They did not.
Well, it turns out that Quentin is near the... Yeah, let's not dwell on the devil's career failures. Mm. It turns out that...
I work with the two of you, so
how
yeah, what is
fucking
that saying
hard
about
could
career
it be?
Failures?
Think this through. Here's the job. Watch a bunch of rocks. Just sit here and watch a bunch of rocks. And they told the devil, you're not qualified.
Exactly.
So now not. It turns out that Quentin is near the stone druid circle of the Whispering Knights. Locals believe that Charles Walton may have been killed by a reproduction of a druidical ceremony on St. Valentine's Eve.
Have you ever been to a druid ceremony, Brandy?
No.
Have you ever sky danced?
Have you ever pushed a heifer out of the ditch?
Oh, into a ditch.
You know what? I have pushed a few heifers in my day.
But there's
not necessarily
no,
out of a ditch, but, you know, maybe into the ditch.
There's no evidence to substantiate any of these claims. There's a druid site about 12 miles away, as the crow flies, from where Mr. Walton was murdered. But he wasn't murdered on St. Valentine's Eve. But rather St. Valentine's Day itself. Maybe Cupid shot a pitchfork into him.
Maybe.
So also researchers were unable to determine if any druid ceremonies took place in the area or what it consisted of. Now, in fact, extended research conducted in the years after the murder seems to throw cold water on witchcraft or paranormal theories surrounding the case. I wonder if that was the devil, because, you know, she loves to throw cold water on things.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever dreams,
my hopes, my dreams,
joys you have.
Aspirations.
Yeah, devil comes in, throws cold water on it.
Mm.
Now, it turns out that the Ann Tennant murder in 75 had very few similarities other than the pitchfork. And Ann Tennant was attacked in view of several witnesses, and the identity of attacker was never in doubt.
Yeah, it was a dim-witted guy.
It also turns out that she had not been murdered on the same day. In fact, Alan Tennant was killed on the 20th. Now, in addition, the attack took place nowhere near Walton's murder, so these were not related or connected at all. And no arrest, Timmy, was ever made in the murder of Charles Walton. His murder is now one of the longest unsolved murders in UK history, second only to the Jack the Ripper cases, Timmy. You're telling me that they solved every motherfucking crime in England since then?
Except for that one and Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, they ain't even got...
I think it's the oldest, second oldest,
guns
not
with the, funny
the second oldest non... unsolved.
Yeah, between the Ripper and that, all the people that got killed. No, I'm not believing that. I'm not believing that. That's propaganda put out by
man,
the
man. You all
police.
See their prison. I went to the Leanne took me to the Tower of London, and I'm you know I'm thinking you know people are chained up to the walls and shit. You know, it's this fucking spacious. Fucking living space.
It's pretty posh.
It's like a fucking condo. I mean, there's a big fireplace. I mean, I would live there. Fucking lock me up there. That's fine. Put me up there. I don't
Oh, no, don't lock me in. Oh, no.
Exactly.
No, don't
but,
lock
yeah,
me
I,
in.
I mean, haven't you, I mean, wasn't your impression of the Tower of London like it was this very dark and dingy and worst prison in the world place to be? It's actually really nice. I'm like, fuck, put me there, please.
Yeah, it's
Jesus.
Very nice.
Brandy, what's your theory on the murder of Charles Walton?
Pooter did it.
Who?
Pooter.
Pooter.
Cooter.
I don't think Pooter did it.
Not Cooter.
I don't think Pooter did. Pooter he totally was framed. You just don't totally like him because he has Belford cords.
Yeah.
I don't like him because he's a liar McLiar pants.
Hmm.
And even in his Belford cords, he's a big fat liar, and I think he did it.
Hmm. All right, Colonel, what's your final thoughts? Right. Who do you think committed the murder of Charles?
I think the niece did it.
Yeah, she's a whore.
I think the niece did it, collected his pension, and went about it.
Well, see, the thing is, she gets what she deserves because once he's dead, he no longer gets that 10 shillings a week. And that means she don't get her 3 shillings a week.
She's got a job.
Oh, she's a whore. She's a stripper.
Oh, my God.
All right.
There's no evidence of that.
All right, so I think that it was Edith who killed him. Because she took his money and she was a whore. Okay, Brandy. Charles, we would like to thank all of the wonderful people who support us.
We would like to thank every single Patreon sponsor that we had. And we would do it individually. If I had a list.
I figured that's what you were leaning into. Okay, so we don't have the list this week. We will thank everyone next week. We're grateful this week. But if you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Happy birthday, Colonel. Happy birthday our friend Heather, who we lost this year, but we still think about you. And Brandy, do you have anything you would like to say before we wrap up?
Nope, I'm good.
Get your breasts. Get your breasts tested, ladies.
Yes. Get your mammograms.
Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.